Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
My next guest came on my radar. Dr. Twin Green is the founder, president, and CEO of the Link and Options Center, and we're going to discuss this kind of tragic trend that we're seeing. Welcome to the show, Dr. Green. How are you today?
I am wonderful, and thank you for having me.
Sure. First of all, can you tell us about your organization and what it does?
Yes. The Link and Options Center is a 30-year legacy healthcare organization with locations in South Holland and Hazelcrest, and we also service the South Suburban, the South Side of Chicago. We are a Joint Commission accredited state certified community behavioral health clinic. And this clinic is really designated for the South Suburban Cook County area, but we service everywhere. Our clients come from everywhere. And we provide a range of accessible psychiatric and integrated medical care to people who need it the most, regardless of their age, ability to pay, or where they live.
And, you know, we just see more and more, I think, awareness, which is great, that people are suffering from mental illness. And it is, I even saw that I think Pritzker was either passing a law or signing a law talking about screenings for young people in our state. And I think the more the better. Of course, that's the case. But you mentioned in one of the press releases some of the astounding statistics about mothers being involved in harming their children. Can you just sort of bullet point some of those statistics for our listeners so they can get an idea of how deeply alarming these statistics are?
In 2024, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported about 45 child deaths with 6 cases leading to criminal charges. And outside of Illinois, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services data in 2022 alone, 473 children died due to abuse by their mothers. And 275 by fathers. And most of these victims are under the age of 5. And that's a very impressionable and vulnerable age. And we also know that 66% of mothers who commit suicide, which is mothers killing their children, have a history of mental disorders, especially depression and psychosis.
And it's astounding that so many more mothers are guilty of this. And I guess I would assume that it's because mothers tend to be maybe more hands-on with the caretaking and spend more time with the children. Is that?
They are.
Okay.
Yes, because they're the caregivers. They're the ones that are nearest to their children.
So can you just tell us a little bit about the two tragedies? If people missed it in the news, can you talk a little bit about those cases and maybe how intervention at an earlier point in time could have helped?
Yes. So the two recent cases, one was on July the 4th, where a mother actually did stab her 4-year-old her son to death, believing that he was possessed by the devil. And then she had 2 other children. So a total of 3 of her children were stabbed, and one of them died. And then on July 18th, another mother drowned her 1-year-old baby in Lake Michigan. And the police were actually called to the home of this particular incident prior to the baby being drowned. So I think that when we talk about mental health interventions and crisis situations, more education needs to be done. And I personally feel that, you know, these two situations, as tragic as they were, and it really hit home, you know, for me, I think that it could have been prevented. There could have been some prevention done. Mental health intervention should have been brought to the families that that were involved, maybe empowering the family members that knew, or maybe they did not understand mental health and the symptoms. But especially if the police were called to the home prior to this situation and there was nothing done. I think that there was a tragedy, and it was left at the hands of these children being harmed or taken away from this earth. And that is just it's just a crisis. It's a crisis that should have been prevented.
And when we come back, we have a quick break. I want to talk a little bit about, from a legal standpoint, I know, and I do get these calls all the time, Dr. Green, where people say, I think someone in my family has issues, but we're trying to get that person in and have them committed at least for a couple of days for evaluation, but it's really hard to do that. The law is not very conducive to making people, go into these facilities, even a short period of time, and it's very difficult. And so that, again, there's good reason for that. You don't want to be putting people in mental institutions or in hospitals when they aren't ill. Dr. Green, some of my texters saying that, is this postpartum? Do we know how often postpartum and those types of symptoms contribute to this kind of violence?
In some cases, that is very true. And that's why it is very important that mothers have the proper prenatal care and postpartum care and attachment to professionals that can help them through that, because it's depression. A lot of postpartum care is related to depression, anxiety, and those kinds of conditions. What I'd like to share, though, family members, it's really difficult for families sometimes to get their loved ones into care. And what we need to do as a community is to empower families so that they will know how to effectively get their loved ones connected to care. And one of those, is basically understanding mental health in itself and the symptoms that their loved ones are presenting with. And so the more that we're informed about mental health, it creates an opportunity more so than not to be able to help that individual that is in need of it, because you have an understanding. You know how to talk to them and how to be more softened when it comes to listening to their problems in a non-judgmental way. So that is important for your listeners to know as well. It's not just about that person and their situation, because you're a part of that whole dynamic also. And, in addition to being a parent, women, we're also a person of our own. And parenting is very challenging. And we all know that, those of us who are mothers, whether we have a mental health condition or not, but very challenging for those that do.
Go ahead.
Oh, and our laws are not really forgiving. I heard you say that earlier. None of the laws are really forgiving in a lot of ways, but we do have, ways to help empower the mothers that are having mental health conditions and concerns right now, so that they can have a plan for when they start to experience some mental health issues.
So, I guess I want to talk a little bit about why it is that some mothers, and maybe some in the African American community, which is kind of what you focus on, but it applies to everybody. Why aren't they seeking mental health services? What are the bullet points here as far as, is it the stigma? Is it lack of money? Is it just not wanting to admit there's a problem? What is it?
Mm-hmm. There are a few, and I'll give you those. Lack of insurance and income, high cost of medications, lack of transportation. These are barriers. Long wait lists for appointments, and lack of awareness and education on the symptoms. You may not even be relating your symptoms to mental health. And then you also have lack of social support and relationship stresses. If you're in a toxic relationship, you're not often readily you're not trying to seek that help because that relationship is taking more of your time and stressing you out more in that area. And then one of the bigger ones, I think, is past negative experiences, especially with African-Americans, with health care providers. And that is, you know, a lot of the reasons why, you know, we just do not see more Black women or African-Americans as a whole reaching out to get mental health treatment. Those barriers are present.
And one of the ideas that you have is to have some sort of mobile health unit, which would bring help to the people who need it in areas where maybe, like you said, it's hard to get an appointment. You know, we can give you an appointment in February. Well, that's not going to help when we're in August. Or if you don't have money, or if you don't have transportation, or if you're in an abusive relationship. What is your idea, Dr. Green, for the idea of this mobile health unit?
We need to really change the way that we provide care or expect care to be provided, you know, to people with untreated, and that's the key word right there, with untreated mental health conditions. So a mobile maternal and mental health clinic, we are proposing that because it's a convenient way to provide access to care, which is turning a high-effort brick-and-mortar model into a low-effort visit and taking it to where people are. They're not coming into the brick-and-mortar. They're hard to reach. And we plan to take this mobile unit in the South Suburban Cook County area as well as Chicago and make a big difference in the way that people engage into care. We know that those that don't have barriers face challenges that they're facing with barriers. They're coming in, but what about the people that are not? And those are the people that we need to reach because these are the people that we're hearing these breaking news reports on. They're not engaged in treatment. And so those are the ones that we really want to reach in this mobile maternal and mental health clinic. It's going to be the answer, I do believe.
And when, so give me the visual of this. This is this a place, is this a van that
yes.
opens up in a store that might be empty, or is it a van that actually transports medical professionals to the house where people need it?
Yes, this is a mobile unit. It is a big mobile unit where you can't miss it, and it's going to roll around, and it's going to be equipped with professional mental health and medical professionals, licensed and credentialed individuals, and it's going to have a lot of different equipment inside of it that will help with women that are pregnant, and so that they can get the proper prenatal care that they need, engagement, and those that are not readily available, have accessible transportation will be right there in the community so that they can see and they can engage with therapists on the spot, get screened for social determinants of health needs. Because, you know, if you're without housing, that's the last thing you're thinking about is your mental health. But that is one of the issues that is increasing your mental health condition. It is because you're unhoused, that or any of those social determinants of health needs that we're faced with every day. But this unit is going to be big. It's going to be a medical unit so that people can see it. They can come inside. They can get the care that they need and then come inside of the brick and mortar for extra care. But getting that initial engagement is what we need to do right now so people will know how to get themselves educated about mental health and then get connected immediately to the professionals that they need to help with their conditions and get them the better care that they need.
It would seem to me, too, that it wouldn't be harmful to have the first responders like ambulance people and police officers, and even the DCFS, to be able to refer people. You know, they go out on a visit and they see something, or someone's called to the house and there's domestic mm-hmm. violence and there are young children and someone's exhibiting signs of bizarre behavior, and the police you know, they're right there. They were called. And maybe the next time they get called, it's going to be even more tragic. And my guess is that you would have to educate all of them, even though they do get training to some extent in mental health mm-hmm. issues. But you would have to really kind of give them the rundown of what to look for. Is that fair to say?
And that is very fair to say, and that is what we're doing. We actually provide those services right now. We are so engaged with the community in the South Suburban community. We have a mobile crisis team that goes out to hospitals and goes out with calls with the police that are in the South Suburban Cook County area. And individuals can call our hotline as well and have a team dispatched where you are. And that is so important.
It's amazing. And I have a texter, 847, kind of cynical, but that I hear you. Cost and
yes.
staffing, good luck, you know.
Thank you so much.
So you're out here doing this. And your organization is raising money and trying to get funding. I'm sure there are all kinds of resources that you're tapping into, because this is not an inexpensive thing to do, to have professionals on a high level, to have all this equipment, and to have probably 24-hour-a-day care available, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's going to cost this unit to purchase, to equip it, and to staff it and provide the resources. We're looking at $1 million right now, and that is a drop in the bucket for saving lives. But we are looking for donations. If you want to be a part of this critical cause, you can reach us at our office at 708-331-8111. For more information or donation, you can just reach out to us, because we need to get out here and save lives. And this is going to be the game changer right here. So we need your support.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this important work. And I'm sure that your organization, you know, not only do you want donations and help, et cetera, but you probably have resources for people. I'm sure there are listeners out there who are very concerned about a loved one who might be exhibiting these kinds of signs. And I think that we should all step up. And sometimes you don't want to butt in, quote unquote, but that might be the best thing you ever do for yourself, your family, and really the community.
I can give you a number right
yes,
now
please.
For your listeners.
Let's
yes,
do it.
We have a crisis hotline number that is available 24/7 with professionals waiting to hear from you, and that number is 800-262-8905. 800-262-8905.
Great. And I'll keep that number if anybody wants to contact me at WGN@KarenConti.com. I'm happy to give that out. Dr. Twin Green, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for your important work.